God bless you, my brother. And it's for us, it's a big honor to be here with you. Gonna put my timer down. Pass the time. It's a big honor. Thank you for allowing us to share with you this morning. You have a beautiful town, and everything is very neat and very, very nice. Please come with me to the book of Proverbs. Come with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. If you can stand up to read these verses, if you can't stand up, you can be seated, but if you can stand up, please come with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. The word of the Lord says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing thereof. Get wisdom, and with all thy gettings get understanding. Please come with me to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day you have given to us. Thank you for giving the honor to my family to be here with your beautiful flock here. Be you talking to our hearts, my Lord. We pray, my Lord, and teach us the true fear of the Lord. Please, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, my brethren. Another way to read this passage will be this. And with all thy getting, get fear of the Lord. The title of this message is the true fear of God. In this portion of the scriptures, King Solomon will urge his children to acquire above all wisdom, or rather, before all things, acquire the fear of God. Oh, my brethren, how sad it is to see how God is no longer feared today. The philosophies of this world, undermining the moral standards of God, the nations of the world conspiring against the moral standards of the Lord. How sad is to see also people who say they know God, and in words they deny Him, living a life without the true fear of God in their lives. Definitively, we need to cultivate the fear of God in our lives. In this verse, King Solomon urged us to acquire wisdom, which is above all things to acquire the fear of God. And now, how do we achieve the true fear of God? This is a good question now. How do we achieve the fear of God? Before continuing, I would like to clarify a point. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The true fear of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Please forgive me if I pronunciate wrong. When I preach, in my mind is 1,000 miles per hour, because I think in Spanish and then translate to English. So please take me patience. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It says, let us therefore come boldly. It means, in Spanish says, acerquémonos pues confiadamente ante el trono de la gracia para alcanzar misericordia y hallar gracia para el oportuno socorro. It means, come openly to the Lord. He is open his hand waiting for you. Fear of God is doesn't mean that you don't come to the Lord. Fear of God doesn't mean that you're there to approach to Him, to come to Him, because He wants you to come to Him. Amen? He wants you to come to the Lord. Fear of God, according to the Bible in Spanish, I have a dictionary in the backside. I just translate to English. Fear of God, it says, worship Him, serve Him, and obey Him. That's what it means, fear of God. Come with me to Genesis chapter 22, because for me, it's the best example of fearing God. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, for me, is the best example of fearing God. Genesis chapter 22. The word of the Lord says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. It's beautiful. Now I'm father, and you're father and mother, and you know how difficult, how hard it is if the Lord asks for you to put your son in the altar and slay him. Before I was father, I read this verse, and I understood what happened. But now that I am father, this verse means for me a lot, because if the Lord asked me that thing, I am sure that I will fail the Lord. But Abraham was so a fear of the Lord. He wanted to serve his God. He was he didn't deny nothing he asked. If the Lord asks us to live a holy life as He lived, for us it's easy to do it when we compare what Abraham was asked to do. God doesn't gonna ask you that, but He asked Abraham. And Abraham feared the Lord, because he feared God. He did what God asked him. And he just wanted to try Him. And then he said, stop. Now I know you fear me. You respect me, you fear me, and you obey me. So now I'm going to supply the lamb, to the animal to sacrifice. And then the carnero, I don't know how to say in English, but he found a carnero near, and he slain the carnero. But the point is that God is not asking us to put our child in the altar to slay. He is asking us to surrender our life and obey Him and love Him and fear God. In Puerto Rico, my mom and my dad, I had the privilege to be raised my mom and dad. And when I did something wrong, you know what my mom did? She just got her flip-flop. Bam! I love my mom. I obey her, but I fear the flip-flop in her hand. And that made me to obey my mom, because she wanted the best for me. And when I needed to fix something, bam! She had no problem using her flip-flop. I don't know here the laws here, but in Puerto Rico, in my times, for 40 years ago, there was good times when parents could discipline the kids, and kids were straight. Now it's very different, sad. But I love my mom, but I respect what she asked me. If she said, clean your room, but for me, better to do it. Because if not, you know what happened? She's going to take her flip-flop, and she's like a sword. She know how to use the flip-flop. And in Puerto Rico, this is a saying that, behind every Behind every successful kid, behind him, there is a mom with a flip from her hand and good aim. And you can apply that to the Lord. We need the blessing of the Lord. We don't need the flip-flop of the Lord in our butt. We need a blessing. And it is a... I just can't understand when we disobey God. If God says, do this that way, live your life that way, why should we continue doing the life in our own way? In our own ways. When we and the end, we're going to suffer. And he don't want us to suffer. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to pay for all our sins. Say the previous, let us study a little bit more how to acquire the true fear of God. Number one, to fear God, you have to know him first. You can't fear something that you don't know. So you need to know the Lord. Come with me to Romans chapter 10. This is a verse that is very used for missions preaching. But today I want to give another application. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. I just can't believe that I'm preaching in English. If I record myself and every time I hear myself speaking in English, it's not that me. It's wonderful it's talking in English. I just love it. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, the beautiful word of the Lord says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe it in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And how shall they, and I say, how shall they fear God if we don't show the Lord? How people gonna fear the Lord if they don't see Jesus Christ in our own life? You know what people outside need? They need to see real Christians living for Christ. They need to see Lord Jesus in our life to say, oh, I need what you have. The life you have, I need it. Desperately needed. And what in Puerto Rico, what happened is people don't see people that fear God. We need to learn to fear God and do the right things in our life because we serve the Lord. And people need to see Jesus Christ, that Jesus is real. He lives in us. It's very important that we have to show Jesus in our life. When you give yourself to the task truly knowing God, you will know his holiness and his power. God is holy, God is pure, God is judge. He does not overlook our sin. This is the sad part. He does not overlook our sin. At this point is when you can appreciate the beauty of the gospel, because he does not overlook our sin. That's the reason why he sent Jesus Christ. Jesus paid for all our sins or for everything that we have done wrong in this life. Someone has to pay it. Or we pay on hell, or Jesus Christ paid on the cross. That's very simple. Or you pay for your own sins in the eternal punishment, or you let that Jesus pay for your sins. But someone has to pay. It's something very different that we are used to. Someone has to pay for the sins. Or you pay for your own sins on eternal punishment, or Jesus pay for you. Also, Jesus, God, his love, he's the true love. And because of love, he sent his only begotten son in propitiation, in payment for our sins. Jesus did an exchange and took our place, and he received the punishment we deserve. Such punishment is eternal punishment, but Jesus defeated the eternal punishment, resurrecting from the dead. This is you, and this is Jesus. Jesus Christ took your place on the punishment, and you took the place of Jesus Christ. Jesus is holy. He haven't done nothing wrong in his life. You took his place and he took your place and he received the punishment. The punishment Jesus Christ received, it was terrible because he's God. But he was willing to receive the punishment you deserve for your sins. It's beautiful what he did. But when you read the Bible and in Isaiah chapter 52-53, you can see the we don't gonna read because it's long, but it's beautiful how much punishment he received for the sins. We have no idea how sad, how terrible are our sins until we are in eternity. But God is holy, he's pure, and he showed through the Bible the sin is terrible. We don't see how terrible is the sin. Don't lie. Oh, yes, sometimes I lie. It's everyone does. No! Doing a lie is terrible. It's terrible. Change lies. Change the world. Lies change lives. Lies can kill people. That's what happened with lies. There's no little lie or big lie. All lies are terrible. That's, we need to see the sin the way Jesus see the sin. Until we don't start to see the sin the way God see the sin, we don't gonna understand what's happening. Sin is terrible. And we need to learn to hate the sin. Hate the sin. It's hard to say that word in the church, but we need to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And sin, God hates the sin, and we need to learn to hate the sin, especially in our life, in our world life. After the Lord opens your understanding to know him and his power, believe me, you will fear the Lord. And by the way, those who do not know God and die without knowing him, they have voluntarily decided to die in their ignorance because God is righteous. Come with me to 2 Peter, my brethren. Come with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Everyone who died without the Lord is because they decided to die without the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Nobody can say in the judgment day, Lord, I didn't know that. Nobody can say that because everyone in every country, in every city in the world has the chance to receive God, to receive Jesus. Everyone has. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Definitely, they have the chance if there is a Christian in the area preaching the word of the Lord. That's why we need to pray that the word of God be spread around the world. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. This verse is very important because it says, the Apostle Peter says they are willingly ignorant. People that go to the hell today because they decided to not, don't believe in God. They willingly are ignorant. People that are outside, that say they are atheists, they are willingly ignorant. They decided not to believe. They decided not to surrender to Jesus Christ. This is it means a religion. A religion. People that willingly are ignorant of God, there is a religion, not believe in the true God. Now I want to share with you a passage of the scriptures that show me more about people that didn't know the Lord, even being in the family of priests. Go with me to 1 Samuel. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. It was very sad what happened in that family we're going to read right now. But it helped us to open our eyes and our hearts to share the Lord with our relatives. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3, the word of the Lord says, "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there." Chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. "Now the son of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." I want to pay attention. Those Hophni and Phinehas, they were sons of Eli. They were priests, but they knew not the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. "And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." And you can read completely the previous chapter and a forward chapter, and it's sad what was happening with those two guys. They were son of Eli, a priest, but they knew not the Lord. They had no fear of God. And when you read what they are doing with other women, they're doing with people that come to present sacrifices. It was terrible what they were doing, because they had no fear of the Lord, because they didn't know the Lord. We need to give the work to the task to share with our own child, with our relative, how to fear God. Now the rhetorical question is how to know God. It's the question, how to know God. The only through Jesus Christ, my brethren. Only through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." It's my favorite, "yet shall he live." It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For there is none other name under the heaven given among the men whereby we must be saved." It's beautiful. How do you know God? Only through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father. If you have Jesus, you have God. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. What do you need? You need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can read Bible and know and memorize passages, but if you don't have a relationship with Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing. You can memorize tons and tons of verses, but if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as the owner of your soul, I have sad to tell, but you have nothing. That's what is happening in Puerto Rico. People can tell John 3:16, "Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna," for everlasting life. John 3:16 is the most favorite. Everyone can say it in Spanish, but are they really living that verse, that Jesus is your God, your Savior? Oh, they know the verse in by memory. But I knock doors, I'm surprised how they know the verse and they have no relationship with Jesus. That's what happening in Puerto Rico. It's very sad. Number three, the benefits of he who fear God. The benefits of he who fear God. Come with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. You go to Psalms, then Proverbs, then the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the same in English and Spanish. It's the same order. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. One day I would love to memorize all the verses I know in Spanish to memorize in English. It would be a good homework. Yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse 18, the beautiful word of the Lord says, "It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Everything will be good for those who have fear of God. Proverbs chapter 31, this is for a woman, for ladies. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 is for ladies who fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 30. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You see that those beauty contests in the TV and those very elegant ladies. And you know what? But the woman that fears God is the beautiful woman in front of the Lord. Amen? Woman that fears God. That's what we need. And now for the gentlemen, come with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Very important. The men that fear God. No, let's see for young people. Proverbs chapter 24. The exhortation for young people. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. It says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and medley not with them that are given to change. The young people here need to fear the Lord and choose your friends. If you see a friend that's not work how the way that God asks you to live, you should be away from that kind of people, because it's not good for you. You best choose your friends from now. You don't need to wait until 20 or 21 and be in trouble. From now, you need to be, you take care of friends. If you have friends that doesn't know the Lord, your responsibility is share the gospel with them. Invite them to the church. Invite them to Jesus Christ. That's your do now. To share your faith with your friends that doesn't know the Lord. Now, let's go to the men. Psalms chapter 112. Psalms 112. In fact, this having good friendship, if you are adult, definitely you need to watch who is your friend and you hang out, because if you have a friend that's taking away from the Lord, your family, definitely those kind of friends, you don't need that. You need them to bring them to the Lord, not them to take you out far from the Lord. So that apply not just to the young people, but to adults. If you have a friend that take you away from your family, being focused on the Lord, and lead you to do things that are wrong, you're smarter than that. You know how to cut that, or better, to bring them to the Lord. Much better. Psalm chapter 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fear the Lord, that delight greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. It's beautiful. A man that fear the Lord is a blessing for the wife, is a blessing for the children, is a blessing for the neighbors, is a blessing for the employer, is a blessing for the community, a blessing for the country. But a man that doesn't fear the Lord is a shame for the wife, is a shame for the kids, is a shame for the neighbor, a shame in his job, is a shame for the nation. That's what is happening today in our nation. In Puerto Rico, what happened? Why are we in bad shape? Because men are not fearing God. And they are affecting the kids and affecting the next generation, because today they don't fear the Lord and they are already affecting the next generation in the island. They don't fear the Lord. That's the only problem. They are far from God. And I don't see the day when they go on their feet and receive the Lord. I don't see the day. We need to pray for our nation. The consequence for he who does not fear God. Not fearing God brings terrible, horrible consequences. He who does not fear God does not know him neither. And if he does not know him, he does not serve him, neither love him, but he's guilty of eternal death. It is possible to fear God and persevere in sin? God forbid. There's no way. There's no way to keep living in sin and fearing God. No. Because definitely we are not perfect. But as soon as we know how to do the stuff and the things, we need to fix our life. Amen? Because we want to praise God with our own life. And he died in the cross not for us to continue living in sin, but to continue living in holiness as he is holy. Amen? That's what we need to fear God. When you start to fear God, things change in our life. He who persevere in sin has not yet acquired wisdom. He does not know God yet. Because when you know God, you really know God when you study the Bible and you pray and you say, Lord, please help me to learn to learn about you, to know you better. And when he give you the light in your head, in your mind, and you learn that he's holy, 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 he's santo, 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 then you start to change your life. And the Holy Spirit will definitely he has a bat and we a home run for you if you surrender to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is there with the bat, not to hit you, but hit for you. You understand? So you need to surrender to Jesus Christ. The bitter part of the message is when I want to share with you this verse. Come with me to Jeremiah chapter 5. God used the prophet Jeremiah to send a message for the children of Israel. They stopped to fear God, and then he used Jeremiah. God used Jeremiah to send a message to the people. And it was very strong message. Very strong message. And just want to read with you this beautiful verse, because show the heart of God, how sad is when we don't fear God. How sad is when we don't fear God. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21, is God talking through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? Say the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the pound of the seas by perpetual decree that it cannot pass it, until the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail, though there they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But these people had a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their ear, in the heart, let us know fear of our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the later, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away the things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he had set snares. They set a trap. They catch men as a cage is full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit. Thereof, they are become great and waxen waxen rich, they are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, say the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end of the wrath? Fear of God. But for me, the most important part of the message is when people get fat and waxy, it means when people get prosper, they don't need God because we are okay. That's when the dangers come. When we are okay and everything is fine, then we start to put God in the second panorama or third page. So, because I'm okay, I don't need God. And then the guard, we just go down. If you are a boxer, what happens if you go down the boom? You need, and in the Lord, it's the same. You need to keep. How do we fight the fear, the fight on the Lord? First, on the feet praying and with the Bible. That's the way we fight and we win. Instead of putting up the our hand, we put the Bible. That's the way we fight our fights. And we can't stop to do that. No matter if you are blessed and we are okay, we are waxing or fatty, as the Bible says, in which it means we are prosper, we need keeping our guard. We keep the guard. Because the child of God, those passage shows that then they pay the consequences. Because they stop to fear God. But we as Christian, we have to continue cultivating the fear of God through His Word, reading the Bible, studying the Bible. We know more God and we respect Him more and we obey Him more because He's holy, 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 my brethren. The saved soul have the ability to fear God more and more every day by knowing Him through his word, according to Acts chapter 10. But I would like to read a verse before finishing. We are finishing. I want to read a verse in Luke chapter 23. When Jesus was in the cross, even in the cross, he teach to fear the Lord. The Bible is beautiful. Even when Jesus was on the cross, in that moment, you can learn to fear God. Come with me to Luke chapter 23, verse 29. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. You all know this passage, but it's beautiful to read again. And one of the malefactors which were hanged a railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justify, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But these men have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you comest unto thy kingdom. And Jesus says unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall you be with me in paradise. It's beautiful. That man there said, you're in the same condemnation, you don't fear God? That man that man that was beside of the Lord, he feared God there. He felt fear. And it's beautiful. We need to learn to fear God. Come with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, of perceive that God is no, that God is not respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The beautiful thing here is said, of truly he's that God is not respecter of person. It means that he not do exception of person. I'm gonna save you, I don't gonna save you. No. He has us on in the same page. We all are sinners. We need Jesus Christ. Amen. We need Jesus Christ. When the Bible says he's not respecter, it means he's teaching that he don't do a exception of person. Oh, if they are Puerto Rican, we don't, I don't gonna save those. They are too sinners, so we're gonna, or there in such place or this place. No, no, no. He have us in the same page. We all are sinners. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, I don't know in English, but in Spanish, I don't gonna say it in Spanish, but it says very clear that we all are sinners. We have sinned. Sometimes we think, oh, because I attending to the church Sundays, I am okay with God. I fix all the problem. Not Isaiah 64 says that all our righteousness is trapo de inmundicia. So it means that all we do, thinking we are buying the grace of God, serve nothing. You can sell all your goods and give it to poor. You know what? You are short to buy the eternal life. So what you need is a truly surrender to Jesus. Ask for forgiveness because you have sinned and you have become short of the glory of God. No matter if you come to the church every Sunday, you need to do something. You need to surrender to Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. What means repent? Repent means I don't do it again. You do in the Greek, I don't speak Greek and never will. But the dictionary says, when you translate from Greek to Spanish, repent means I don't do it. No lo vuelvo a hacer. I don't do it again. It means a special commitment to the Lord. I repent. I admit that I did wrong in my life. I admit that I run my life wrong when I compare with the Word of God. Please, my Lord, forgive me all my sins, my past sins, my present and future sins, because I'm so weak that I need you. I know I will fail one day, but I want you to forgive all my sins and you become the owner of my soul, Jesus. Please forgive me. When you really surrender your soul to Jesus, from now on forever, you will be truly saved. But you need to surrender to the Lord. And when you do that, it's very easy to surrender to Jesus. Very easy. But it's the most important decision in your life. It's the most important. I know sometimes it's difficult for some people, but you know what? It's not difficult. The devil wants you to think it's difficult. It's not difficult. It's the most important. But because it's important doesn't mean it's difficult. When you surrender to Jesus, it's the most important decision. But they have the impact from now and forever. You will be saved. You will be child of God from now and forever. And if you depart tomorrow to eternity, you will go to the paradise with Jesus Christ. But if you don't do, and tomorrow is the end of your days, now he who is your savior today, your lawyer, will be your judge tomorrow if you don't surrender to him. That's why it's so important to learn to fear God. When you understand the eternity, when you understand that Jesus is holy, you understand that you are a sinner and the sin is so bad, you need to do a true decision in your life from now and forever. Let's close our eyes to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your beautiful word, because your word will never change. The sky, the earth, the heaven and earth will change, will pass. But your word keeps forever. And we are laying in your word today, my Lord. Thank you for this beautiful flock this morning here, this beautiful church. My Lord, help us to fear you the way you deserve. You deserve all our love, all our fear, and all our obedience. If there is someone here that could say, Brother Javier, if I die today, I am not 100% sure that my soul will go to the paradise with Jesus, but I want to repent right now. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right now, and close every doubt. I want to surrender right now. I want to receive Jesus as my owner, the owner of my Lord, of my soul. Could you raise your hand to pray for you? I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Could you, God bless you. Someone else. Someone else want to receive Jesus. Someone else. Jesus Christ, I have failed you, but I please forgive me. I want to be saved from now and forever. I want you to give that home run for me, because I can't. I want to be safe from now and forever. Could you raise your hand just to pray for you? It's private. No, everyone is with the closed eyes. You want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Please raise your hand just to pray for you. Amen. Amen. And so keeping your closed eyes, is someone here that already know God and have surrendered to God and is child of God, is saved. Could you say, hey, Brother Javier, please pray for me. I want to learn to fear more my Lord as he deserves. And I want to pray for Jesus, be salt of the earth and light of the world. Could you raise your hand? God bless you. Someone else want this power. God bless you. Someone else. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you. I'm raising my hand too. I need you to use me to be salt of the earth and light of the world, so people can see Jesus in my life. And be a good example for them, and use us, use all the hands. We want to be used by you. Please use us in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to share our faith without any fear. Share our faith with everyone. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. God bless you, my brethren.